afternoon to everyone. We are the Bakers from Jackson, Michigan. It's our first time here, and we are happy to be with the assembly here and visiting Amanda's family. Had a great privilege of seeing her parents and her sister yesterday, and today with the assembly here in Winnipeg. So it's a privilege to be here, first time, and hopefully it won't be the last. Shall we turn to the epistle of Peter, the second epistle of Peter and chapter 1. The second epistle of Peter and chapter 1, and from verse number 10. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me." Now, very often I have heard, and perhaps we all have heard, that it is easy and it is natural to relate ourselves with this man called Peter. Peter and his failures, Peter and his pride, Peter and his impetuousness, Peter and his denial, his many failures, quick to speak, slow to listen, and it is normal, it is natural to relate ourselves with Peter because that's how we are. Among all the disciples, well, I'm Peter. But this afternoon, I would like to look at a characteristic of Peter that I hope we can emulate also. Not just his failures and not just his impetuousness and not just his denial. But this afternoon, if I could give a short heading to what I'm going to speak on, is I'm going to speak on the devotion of Peter. The call of the Lord Jesus Christ in devotion. And my brother, the hymn that he selected, and the tone of his prayer, and even this morning as you are remembering the Lord Jesus Christ, we are taken up with the love of the Lord Jesus. And the love he had for his Father, the love he had for the sheep, the love he had in sacrifice in giving himself on Calvary. And so Peter, in this short section that we read, he's speaking of putting off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Peter is going back to an incident in his life when the Lord Jesus Christ really spoke to him. He spoke to him of his disease. And he's going back to that tremendous experience. So let me turn to the Gospel according to John then. Gospel according to John and chapter 21. Here is the Lord's interview with the Apostle Peter, the time he spent with him. And John chapter 21 and verse 15. "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. I would like to challenge my own heart afresh. I would like to challenge your hearts this afternoon on the call to devotion. The call to devotion. You know, 3 years ago, in the experience of the Apostle Peter, when the Lord met him, Peter was busy in his work in his fishing industry, and Peter was in his sins, and he heard the call of the Lord Jesus Christ 3 years ago, and that was the first call of salvation. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. What a tremendous call it was for him, and what a tremendous call it was for each one of us who are saved today to hear the direct call of God to salvation. And I'm sure we can all go back to that day, to that moment, when we heard the voice of God calling us and being directly confronted with the Savior himself. And so Peter's response to the call of the Lord Jesus in salvation. You remember in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 6, when the Lord spent the entire night in prayer, and then he began to select his disciples. I'm going to call it the Lord's call to Peter in discipleship. And that's a very important call for Peter, and that's a very important call in your life and my life. We are just not called to salvation. We're just not called to be saved and to go to heaven. The Lord Jesus has called us to a life of discipleship. In the last chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, the Lord says, go ye into all the world and make disciples. Make disciples. There has to be a call to discipleship. And Peter responded to that call of discipleship. In the Gospel of Luke in chapter 9, the Lord Jesus calls Peter again, and he takes him to a high mountain. And I'm going to call him the Lord's call to Peter to view his glory. And he was transfigured, as we can remember from Luke chapter 9, the great privilege Peter had to see the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a tremendous call. The call to view his glory. In Luke chapter 22, the Lord again calls Peter, and he takes them to the Garden of Gethsemane. And though it was a stone's cast away, Peter was called, and he was asked to remain awake to witness the sufferings and the agony of the Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. In Luke chapter 22, it is the call to view his resurrection. Behold my hands and my feet. And Peter looks into the wounds of the risen and glorified Christ. Not glorified, the risen Christ. And what a call it was when he received that call. Great calls. There was a call for restoration. You remember when Peter denied the Lord Jesus and the cock crew, and as Peter turned and saw the eyes of forgiveness and the eyes of compassion and the eyes of restoration, and Peter received the direct call of the Lord Jesus to restoration. I'm sure in our Christian experiences there have been many, many times when we have received a call to restoration. We fail and we falter in Christian life innumerable times. And it is great to receive the call to restoration. And so as we look at the Lord's dealing with the Apostle Peter and the tremendous way the Lord kept on calling Peter again and again and again, in spite of all these great calls in Peter's life, we still find Peter falling, and we still see Peter going away from the Lord. And the Lord had no need to talk to Peter again. And the Lord has no need to talk to us again. And the Lord has no need to come to us again. But it is the grace and the compassion and the love of the Lord Jesus that I would like you to draw your attention to. And in the Gospel of John in chapter 21, the amazing fact is the Lord talks to Peter again. And I've enjoyed this portion of Scripture because Peter is going back in 2 Peter in chapter 1 to this time when the Lord Jesus Christ talks to him about his departure. And Peter also says in that section about the call of Christ, and he says that if you keep these things in mind, make sure that you make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. And I believe after this specific interview of the Lord Jesus Christ with Peter, there was a tremendous turnaround in Peter's life. And we know that he also received the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. But the transformation of the man was unique. And the transformation of the man as we go through the book of Acts was a complete transformation. You don't find an impetuous Peter anymore. We don't find a man who spoke out of turn anymore. We don't read of a denying Peter anymore. I believe this call to devotion, what transformed the Apostle Peter. Now, it was a direct call. It was a personal call. The Lord doesn't tell Peter and talk to Peter about the other disciples. He's talking to Peter about himself. And you and I need to be always conscious that when God speaks, it is to me. And many times we would like the word of God to be spoken to others and to the young people and to the old people and to the elders and to the ladies and so on. But it was a personal call. Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? It's a personal call. And a call to devotion is always a personal call. It is always a personal call. Now, in about a few days after this experience, Peter was going to be called to stand up. He was going to receive the call to be a great preacher, and 3,000 men were going to be saved. And the Lord could have talked to him in John and told him, Peter, listen, in spite of all that has happened in the past, everything is over. I'm going to now tell you that in a few weeks, I'm going to give you a special responsibility. I'm going to give you the call of a preacher. You are going to stand up among the 12 and you're going to preach the gospel as it has never been preached before. The call to be a preacher. What a tremendous thing it would have been for Peter to receive this calling from the Lord in John chapter 21. But that's not what the Lord tells Peter. He doesn't call him to be a preacher. The Lord could have told him, hey Peter, listen, a missionary work is going to begin in Acts chapter 2 onwards. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. I need pioneer work. I need pioneer missionaries. Not only I'm going to call you to be a preacher, I'm going to call you to be a pioneer missionary. And that's what Peter really was. He was the first pioneer missionary. He started the work in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria before the Apostle Paul took over. And the Lord could have told him on the shores of Galilee as he talks to Peter privately and personally, hey Peter, I've got a work for you. I've got a work for you. I want to call you to be a pioneer missionary. But that's not what the Lord tells him. The Lord could have told him, Peter, I'm going to make you one who is going to plant assemblies. You're going to be a church planter. You're going to preach the gospel. You're going to teach the Christians. You're going to baptize them, and you're going to be, assemblies are going to be established. Called to be a church planter. What a tremendous call it would be if you and I received a call to be involved in building up or initiating the work of planting an assembly. The Lord doesn't call him to that work. As you read Acts chapter 16, we read this man was a stronghold in the assembly. And the Lord could have told him, that's what I'm going to make you. A strong foundation in the assembly. And that's not what the Lord called him. If you read the first epistle of Peter and the second epistle of Peter, the Lord could have told him here in John chapter 21, I'm going to make you a pastor or a shepherd. That's what he was. But all these great callings, the call of a preacher, the call of pioneer work, the call of being strong as an oversight or a shepherd in the assembly, none of these were the callings of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, Peter became all of that. But great as these callings were, I'm going to suggest the first and the most important and the foundational call of the Lord Jesus Christ to Peter was, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? The call to pure devotion. And I think in our Christian life, no matter which avenue the Lord takes us into, if you respond correctly, and if I respond from our heart to this call, every other call that the Lord calls us to will fall into place. Every other call that the Lord calls us to will be fruitful, and it will be always based on the foundation of the call in John chapter 21. And again and again and again, the Lord Jesus Christ impresses upon Peter this tremendous call to pure devotion. Simon, son of Jonas, do you really love me? And you know, every aspect of our Christian life is going to revolve around this call. Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? And so may the Lord help us that in the privacy of our lives, in the secret of our rooms, alone with the Lord, we may be able to really answer this question. Simon, son of Jonas, do you really love me? Now, the second most important relationship, I've been thinking of this because of things, something else going on in our family too. And the second most important relationship that a man will ever get into, or a woman that will ever get into, is not only a personal call of devotion to the Lord Jesus, but the second most important relationship a man or a woman will ever get into is a relationship with a spouse. That is the next closest relationship on earth. And I was trying to Google a few things about married life. And here are a few things. There are 10 points and there are 20 points and some places where 40 points. There was one site in Australia that had 1,000 points to a successful marriage. And here are a few things. I'm not going to share all of them with you. Complain constructively. It's good. Share your concerns. Fulfill your dreams. support each other, calm your anger, be positive, keep high standards, communicate. And in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, I believe the apostle lays the foundation of every important marriage. And yesterday, Friday evening when some of the men met together and had a little get-together giving Joseph some advice on married life. I think many of them, or most of them, touched on what we read in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. When Paul had to speak and advise and encourage Christian men, he says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church." The call to devotion, and you can add all these things, or you can add 1,000 more. But if you miss the foundation, if you miss what is the most important thing in married life, you're going to miss it completely. I don't know if there's anyone here who is not saved. But before you can even venture out into a married life, if you're not saved, it's going to be very, very uphill. It's an uphill battle. It's almost an impossibility to fulfill the great role of being an ideal husband. But if you are, you can have all your I's dotted and you can have all your T's crossed. And you can plan what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. You're going to plan how you're going to spend time with your wife and your date nights and everything else. But if you have missed the call to devotion, husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. The great command, the great precept, the great command that you and I need to take to heart is, husbands, love your wives. And I've been married for a few years, and I have to go back to Ephesians chapter 5, and sometimes I have to receive encouragement from my wife to go back to Ephesians chapter 5 too. You're supposed to love your wives. That is the foundation. That is the most important point, the foundational point in marriage. In the book of Titus, when Titus was sent to Crete to build up a work and to be a help in teaching the Christians in Crete, if you read the epistle there, it seems as though these were individuals that were not much taught in the Word of God. And when Titus had to give some personal advice to the women, especially the younger ones, he says to love your husbands, to love your husbands. And if the man's love takes on the role of a character of headship and to encourage and to guide, the woman's role in love is to submit in love, the submission of love. And so whether it is the man's building up a relationship with his wife, the wife building up a relationship in marriage, as I said, the second most important and vital relationship that any of us will get into on earth is not only our relationship with the Lord, but our relationship with our spouses. And we got to go back to this very simple and very basic and very fundamental truth. It's going to be a decision of the will. It's going to be a decision of the heart to love your wives. To love your wives, the command, the precept. Christ loved the church, the sacrifice, the tremendous proof. He not only taught it, but he proved it. Christ loved the church, that he might sanctify it, the plan, the intention, the purpose, the end goal of marriage, that he might sanctify it. There is a building up. There is a building up. There is a goal. There is an aim in mind that he may present it to himself as a prospect. And the prospect of the Lord Jesus with his bride is that he's going to present the church to himself without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. What a glorious prospect he had. And And even in our marriages, I believe that has to be a deliberate action to love as the Lord Jesus Christ loved. I'm going to touch one more area and I'll stop. I believe the third most important relationship a Christian must get into. The third most important relationship is my relationship with the assembly. It is my relationship to the Lord, devotion. My relationship to my spouse is devotion. My responsibility or my relationship to the assembly is going to be based on my devotion. I remember an assembly, maybe you'll know the name of the assembly by the time I'm done. There was an assembly that was zealous for the Lord. There was an assembly that was missionary minded. There was an assembly that hated false teaching and false doctrine. There was an assembly that would not let anyone speak who was not really into the Word of God. There was an assembly that was full of works, good works, and helping the poor and helping missionary work and so on and so forth. And in spite of all these things being in place, the Lord says, I have something against thee. I have one thing against thee. You have lost your first love. You see, we can have our attendance in place, and we can have our dress in place, and we can have our exercise in ministry in place, and we can have our exercise in gospel work in place. And you name it, you can have everything that is recorded in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. You can have all your I's dotted and all your T's crossed. But I have something against thee. Thou hast lost, or thou hast left thy first love. Thou hast lost, or thou hast left thy first love. And I have at times wondered what the Lord Jesus really meant when he said, what really happened to the assembly? There was such a lot of zeal, there was such a lot of works, there was such a lot of teaching. They had great men like the Apostle John in Ephesus. They had the Apostle Paul. They had his son in the faith. Both his sons work at Ephesus. What happened? I think we can search our own hearts as to what happens sometimes. We can have everything in place, and yet thou hast lost, thou hast left thy first love. I was thinking about King David. And in spite of all his failures, and in spite of all his exposing himself to sin, and exposing himself to temptation, and his evil thoughts, and the bitter results from that, and all the disaster that King David went to, I believe there's one thing that marks David out. He was a man after God's own heart. And if you read the Psalms of David, or you look at the history of David, there's one thing that stands out in David's life. He was a man of the heart. He was a man of the heart. And when it comes to David's relationship with the house of God, though he was not given the responsibility to build it, he had a tremendous desire, he had a tremendous burden to establish the house of God. He didn't do it. This is what God tells King David. I'm not going to read the entire portion here, but the Lord says, as much as it was in your heart. As much as it was in your heart. He gives credit to David, though he didn't build the house. He gives as much credit to this man as though he really built it, because it was in his heart. And so, I'm going to encourage my own heart. I need it. Because many a times it can be a mechanical thing coming to meeting. Many a times going out for seats over work or passing out invites can become a mechanical thing. I wonder if we really have grasped the question of the Lord Jesus to Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, do you really love me? What characterized Peter's life? What characterized Peter's service? What characterized Peter's preaching? And everything that Peter did was based on the call to devotion. And what is going to characterize your life in your relationship with the Lord Jesus? And what is going to characterize your life as a spouse? And what is going to characterize your life as a member of a local assembly is a response to the call to devotion, the call to pure devotion. Shall we pray?